The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors, and sometimes we take a break from, you know, the call-ins, unless it's on topic today, and we interview a guest, or we have a guest come on from Maryland's Department of Natural Resources, and today's guest is Chuck Stentz, and he is on the hotline. Good morning, Chuck. How you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good. What's your title there, Chuck? Tell us your what you do and, you know, what you know, the... Go ahead.
I'm the Enesmus Restoration Project Leader. Basically, I work with currently American shad, hickory shad, and Atlantic sturgeon.
Okay. American shad, hickory shad, and Atlantic sturgeon. Well, tell us about the sturgeon program. I've been with you on the boat. I've been with you on the sturgeon boat. I've been with you on the hickory shad boat. Where did we fish the electrofish? We electrofished down on Patuxent. Is that where we were?
I'm pretty sure it was a Patuxent. That was a while ago.
Yeah. You don't do the hickory shad down there anymore. The American shad.
No, not on the Patuxent. We do on the Chop Tank and also on the Patapsco River now.
Yeah, I like fishing the Chop Tank for the hickories.
Not a great
year this year.
No, we haven't gotten that many reports as in years past.
Right.
We're slated to go back and reassess the Chop Tank in 2020. So,
got it.
We'll see how everything's holding up next year.
Yeah. Now there were some efforts to restore the shad fishery on the Chop Tank here not too long ago. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're still working towards that. We don't do hickory shad any longer on the Chop Tank.
Right.
We've kind of gotten to the point where hatchery inputs really don't have an impact any longer. So that's a good reason to stop in that river and move to another river, such as the Patapsco.
Sure.
It's a big fishery, you know, in Maryland with the hickory shad.
No question. Yep. No question.
Trying to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah. I got it. I'd be interested to know if any of those fish that we caught this year and the last couple of years have actually been, you know, hatchery stock as opposed to wild stock. That'd be interesting to hear, but you're not allowed to keep them. So, you know, that's up to you. That's up to you guys to figure that out.
Yeah.
But not a great year. You know who I fish with is Uncle Dale, and you know, and he's up there. He's up there far, far more often than I am. And you know, I think he did catch one American up there last year.
Uh-huh.
But the days that we both went, there was just not a ton of activity going on. So you know, but that's how it goes. That is now moving on to sturgeon. That's in the Nanticoke River system.
It is. That's where we're focusing our efforts currently.
Right. And primarily, what are you still fishing the creek?
Yeah, Maryland focuses on the Marshy Hope Creek.
Marshy Hope, right.
And Delaware focuses on the main stem Nanticoke and, you know, in Delaware River.
Right.
Or in Delaware waters.
Right.
It's kind of a cooperation between the two of us. We kind of help each other out as we go. But like I said, we concentrate on the marshy hope, and the fish are so far upriver that there's really no way to – we don't fish that much in the Nanticoke because of where the adults spend the spawning season.
Right. Okay. And the spawning season runs from when to when?
Yeah, it's kind of unusual with the Atlantic sturgeon. They are an anadromous species similar to striped bass, American shad, hickory shad. However, the population that we have in the Nanticoke seems to be a fall spawning population. So that means instead of them coming up into the rivers in, you know, March and April, May, you know, like striped bass do, they come into the river in the lower reaches of the river in late May, early June, and they hang out in that brackish water, you know, downriver where it's, you know, what we would consider like 1/3% seawater.
Right.
And they hang out there until sometime in August, and then that's when they make their push upriver. And they'll stay in the upper reaches in the very fresh water until October.
Wow, that's cool.
And you know, they're all adults that are you know,
coming to spawn
way up in the rivers. Yeah,
that's interesting. So you know, we ask every time you come on, what are your numbers up to now as far as your how long's the program been in existence?
We caught our first fish in 2014.
All right.
We went out in 2013, you know, not knowing the first thing about how to catch one of these big fish.
Right.
And then 2014, we caught 8 fish, and we started to get the handle on how to fish for them in the river.
Right.
And we're up to 24 now.
24 total since 2014?
Yeah, 24 total, and out of that, we have 4 females that we've caught and tagged so far. So,
wow.
The beauty is we'll never have to touch these fish again. They have transmitters in them that'll last for 10 years.
Nice.
So we can just let them go and let them do their thing, and you get a lot of information from, you know, them just being there with the transmitter in them.
Any recaptures?
Oh, yeah. This past year, we've actually... We're trying to decide whether to, the old saying, a bird in hand's worth two in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
We know where we can catch them, and we've kind of gotten to the point now where we're getting very few new fish. We're catching a lot of recaptures. So
okay.
This past year in 2018, we only caught 2 new fish, but we had 11
recaptures.
So,
well,
we have to decide whether we want to move to a different area or, you know, continue in the same place.
Well, there's a lot of work goes into it, you know, as far as your monitoring stations, your, you know, give us a little thumbnail on how this all works with the telemetry and how that all, you know, how you rig the river, you know, to be prepared. Tell us how that all works.
So each fish that we catch, we implant a transmitter in it. It's an acoustic transmitter, and the transmitter will run for 10 years.
Right.
So that's the active part of it, and then the passive part of it are the receivers that we actually deploy throughout the river. So, for instance, in the Nanticoke River, we have receivers the whole way down at the mouth at Roaring Point. And anytime you find a bend in the river where, you know, the signal would be cut off, we put another receiver out. And then you go up to the next bend and put another receiver out. So from the mouth of the river to the town of Federalsburg, we have 28 receivers that we have on various fixtures, whether it's people's piers or Coast Guard pilings, things like that.
Right.
So basically, as soon as a fish comes around a corner, another one of our receivers can hear him. And then Delaware takes over from the state line, you know.
Sure.
Upriver.
Yeah.
Up past Seaford.
Got it. When I was with you you guys got excited when you would, you know, you would pick up a fish because you could tell where it was. And then you have a tracking thing on the boat too, a little, I guess a receiver on the boat where you can say, okay, we know there's a fish within X number of yards of here because we can, you know, we can pick up the signal from the boat.
Yeah, that's how we determine where we want to fish that day.
Right.
We carry the VR100. It's a manual tracking unit. And we'll use that to kind of hone in where some of our fish are. We're using our tagged fish as the Judas fish to hopefully show us where other ones are.
Yeah, like two of them, two, three, whatever, running together. You find one that you've tagged, you're gonna fish for one that might be with it.
Sure, yeah. Or we do just the opposite. If we know there's a whole bunch of them in one area, we may move, you know, slightly away from it.
Sure.
To try to catch new fish instead of the, you know, the ones that are already, we've already done the legwork on them, put the transmitters in them, in the pit tags and all that good stuff. Take a DNA sample.
Right. Now, is every bit of information from every fish is collected somewhere? Where's that stored?
Well, we keep the data for our fish. We technically, we own the fish, so to speak, because we put the transmitter in it. And then what happens is we're part of a grassroots effort with researchers from Canada to Florida that they all subscribe to the ACT network. And what we do is since these fish are so far ranging, for instance, our fish go the whole way to South Carolina and even Georgia during the winter. When researchers pick them up on their acoustic arrays, they can go into the ACT network and find out whose fish it is and then send the data, basically the raw data that we would get.
Right.
On our receivers, they email it to us. So even though we only have 28 receivers out there, you know, it's a kind of a gentleman's understanding that, you know, if you catch somebody else's fish, you give them the detail and vice versa. If we catch one of theirs in our array, we send them the data as well.
So it's basically an information sharing system throughout the community of biologists that are interested in this species.
Correct. It's not just this species. It's any species that has an acoustic transmitter in them.
I see.
We get a lot of striped bass detections when we put our receivers out. We usually try to put our receivers out in March.
Right.
You know, once the threat of ice is gone.
Yeah.
We put our receivers out in March, and then we don't pick them up until December.
Got it. Well, you don't want to get them iced over and frozen out.
We just don't want to lose them. They're
right,
expensive, and, you know, we try to take care of them so they last us. So.
Sure. Where's the, if you don't mind me asking, where's the funding come from?
We're funded, the funding that we had for doing the majority of the work on the Nanticoke comes from NOAA, from the Office of Protected Resources. It's money that's allocated to the state for endangered or threatened species, species of concerns, that type of thing.
Okay.
Usually that funding is in 3-year increments.
Right.
And we're glad to say that we were funded this coming year. So we're
funded
till 2022 to do the adult assessment. And also we're going to try to look for juveniles as well.
How would you do that? Now, explain to our listeners here the system. You guys, you have a crew. If I recall, there's 4 people on the boat.
Yeah, it ranges. It depends on
3 to 4. Okay.
If we have people that come out with us, like you.
Yep.
And we usually put you to work if you're going to come out to watch the
fish. Yeah.
We're gonna put you to work.
Makes sense.
We use a large mesh gill net for the adults.
Right.
We've experimented over the years to see what size nets work the best, and we've listened to other researchers, and We've come to the conclusion that we use anywhere between 12.5 and 14-inch gillnet mesh.
That's a big fish. Everything else is going to swim through it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the beauty of it. We get very, very, very little bycatch, very little detritus collects on the net. So if you have something in your net, you know, 99 times out of 100, it's going to be an Atlantic sturgeon.
What's the 1%?
Gar.
Oh, really?
A crab.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen the crab. Yeah.
Yeah. When we were using the smaller mesh nets, we were using 6, 7, and 8 inch several years ago.
Right.
Actually, that was in 2014. We started out with that,
mm-hmm.
and you name it, we were catching it, and it kind of wore us out taking all these big carp and the big catfish and things like that. And we started moving up in mesh size until we got to our favorite net, which is 12.5 inch.
Right.
That's my favorite net.
Got it.
And then we also have 14 inch. Now, some of the researchers in Virginia, they're actually using 16 inch.
Wow. These are big. These are not small fish. These are big fish. These are 6 foot long fish.
Yeah, these are really big fish. And the males aren't quite as big as the females. Our average males are a little over 5 feet long, and they weigh 90 pounds. But the females that we've caught so far, we've caught almost an 8 foot female, and she was 181 pounds.
Right.
I think our smallest female was 150 pounds.
Wow.
And when you have to get one of those on the boat, it's interesting. Let's put it that way.
I'm sure. The biggest one, according to your notes, as far as an Atlantic sturgeon is concerned. Now, these are not the sturgeon that you catch out in the Snake River and the rivers out west. The giant white sturgeon, I guess, is what they are. These are the Atlantic sturgeon, which is an endangered, I believe, still an endangered species, or is it just threatened now?
No, they are endangered.
Endangered.
Or
okay.
The DPS.
Yeah, it used to be a commercial fishery. The biggest one ever caught that we know of was 14 feet long.
Yeah, 14 feet, 811 pounds.
That's a big fish.
That's a big fish. I wouldn't know what to do if we caught one that big.
All hands on deck.
Yeah.
At that point.
Well,
I
have a feeling it would be all hands in the water.
In the water, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
The female that we caught last year, the 181-pounder, we actually had to get two guys to get out of the boat and, you know, basically press the fish up onto the gunwale to get it in the boat. It was so heavy.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hey, I know where there's a muskie net if you need one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But okay. So the transmitter. Tell our listeners. We're going to take a short break. But tell our listeners how you actually have to implant the transmitter. How does that work?
So once we get the fish in the net, we try to do things really quickly. We don't like to keep the fish on the boat any longer than we have to. But once we get the fish out of the gill net, we have a tank in the boat. It's about an 8 foot long tank, and we put them into the tank and supplement it with oxygen. And then a fish that big, you have to calm him down somehow.
Right.
So you can either use chemicals to basically anesthetize them.
Right.
Or something that we've gone to now, we use what's called electronarcosis. So we have a little buzz box in the boat that creates a real small current in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And when you turn it on, the fish just roll over and they just lay there. They keep yelling, no problems with them. And then we get our surgery equipment out, and then basically we're sturgeon surgeons. Make a tiny little incision in them, and then we put our transmitter inside of them, and they're about the size of your thumb.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, all the other things that we do, we take their measurements, their weight. We also take a DNA sample, and we also put a pit tag in them, similar to what people put in their pets.
Okay.
So they're all uniquely identified. Once we get the transmitter inside of them, we sew them up just like you would surgery in a hospital. We sew them up and then turn the electric off, and they start beating us to death again. And
wow.
We usually take them about a mile downriver and turn them loose. We don't want to dump them right overboard where our nets are, so we, you know, take them downriver or upriver,
sure,
depending on the day, and turn them loose, you know, about a mile, like I said.
Yeah, so that's cool. All right, we're going to tell her.
We've been pretty lucky so far. We get detections from all the fish that we've implanted so far, so we're doing a pretty good job while we have them on the boat.
It sounds like it. How many implants do you have out now?
We have 24.
Oh, so you've implanted every fish that you've caught?
Yes.
24 in Maryland, 2 in Delaware.
2 in Delaware, yep.
Go Maryland! Hang on there, buddy. Hang on. Hey, you know, folks, Bay Country Bakery, and Chuck Stentz ought to be familiar with this, right there on Route 50, in Cambridge, I can't tell you. They have a great breakfast from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday, all day Saturday. And after 11, from 11 to 2, you can get lunch as well. But in the entire river system of the Chesapeake Bay, starting on the New York border when the Susquehanna River enters Pennsylvania to the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay, you will not find a better donut or any pastry or cookies or bread. It's that good. I'm telling you, these donuts are fantastic. Right, Chris? And Chris says, right. Right? So anyway, Bay Country Bakery is located on Route 50, just through Cambridge. The address is 2951 Coastal Highway. And what you're looking for on the other side of Cambridge, headed towards the beach, is this big pink donut on the side of the building. It's got to be 8 feet tall. Right?
It's huge.
Yeah, it's a donut, ice donut with pink icing and sprinkles on it. And there's one on the sign, and there's a big chocolate donut on the front of it. I mean,
you can't miss it.
Now, if you see a building adorned with big donuts, you're there.
Exactly.
So, anyway, when I'm headed to the beach or down that way, I'm stopping. So, Dave and Gina Levy, they're trained chefs. They strive to bring you the best, and it's not much of an effort because they got it down pat. It is the best, no question. Just look for the big donut. Visit their website. Like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Oh, you want me to talk about Clyde's? Well, I'll be glad to do that. Clyde's Sports Shop is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Now, I hear a lot of talk about guns these days. If you want a gun for home protection or personal protection, or if you want to have a, you know, get a carry permit or a handgun or whatever, well, Clyde's is your full-line Browning dealer, of course. But we're talking about personal protection. You need to stop by and look at the selection of handguns, including the Browning Buck Marks and others that Clyde sells. It's a large selection, and they can walk you through the entire process from start to finish, get your handgun approved. And of course, you're going to have to take the HQL. You're going to have to do, you know, for the all, everything you need to do for a handgun here in Maryland. But Clyde Sportshot can walk you through that entire process, and they have a lot of guns. So why not check them out? 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's just off Beltway exit number 9. Phone number is 410-242-6108. Website is ClydeSports.com. They're up 7 days a week. Firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and most importantly, walking you through the process to obtain your firearm at Clyde's Sports Shop. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Oh, I'm supposed to talk about Chesapeake Outdoors. Well, guess what? I don't think they have any sturgeon tackle, but if you're trying, I mean, you know, they don't stock 14-inch gillnet, I'm pretty sure. But they do have every kind of rod and reel and every type of bait and hook that you can need one or imagine for anything from snakeheads to bass to striped bass to chum to non-offset circle hooks to, yeah, I mean, if you pick your type of fish, and Chesapeake Outdoors has the bait to catch it with. Even crabbing, too. Live and frozen bait as well. All kinds of pots and traps and live boxes and nets and trot lines. And they have the Grundens gear now. They've got the boots and the rain gear and the jackets and all that. They've got the extra tough boots. You know, you want to look like a waterman, Chesapeake Outdoors is a place to get your stuff. Compound bows and crossbows, guns and ammo and camo and hip boots and waders and all that kind of stuff, too. And we'll talk more about that when we get to hunting season. But right now it's crabbing and fishing time, and that's what Chesapeake Outdoors has. 40% off the big spring trolling baits, 40% off and 20% off the Bradley smokers. So if you like good smoked ribs or, you know, maybe some bluefish or something like that, Bradley smoker can do that for you. All there at Chesapeake Outdoors, and now save 20%. Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road. That's on Kent Island. That phone number, 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
I'm back. Okay, I'm going to leave Chuck on hold just for one brief minute because I got an email from Bill Cooper, and our regular listeners know who Bill Cooper is, right? So for years, you've been beating on me to go and get these Bay Country Bakery donuts. So last Saturday, I took the bait. Since I live in Towson, I plugged the address into the truck nav system and headed out. Bay Bridge toll, couple bucks. You didn't mention that. State Trooper got me on Kent Island and again at the 5301 split. 2 hours later, I bought a pretty gosh darn good donut. Heading back, State Trooper got me in the little town of Trapp, aptly named, and same trooper got me again at the 5301 split. All in all, 5 hours later, I get back home and the girlfriend is not happy. I was supposed to mow the lawn. In all, between tolls, gas, and four speeding tickets, that
$1.25 donut cost me $401.25. Now I'm going to lose my license, which means I'm going to lose my job, which means I'm going to get evicted, and my girlfriend is leaving me. Thanks, Alan.
But he's a convert now.
Yeah, I said the donut was worth it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go. And now we'll talk to Chuck Stins. Hi, Chuck.
Hi.
Stop by Bay Country Donuts when you're down that way.
Yeah, we go past it a lot.
Well, you got to stop. It's well worth it, trust me. I'll tell you what, you guys stop, get yourself a dozen donuts for the crew, and I'll buy them for you. How's that?
Okay.
Deal?
Like a plan.
Deal?
Yeah.
All right. We're talking about sturgeons. I don't think they taste quite as good as donuts. But maybe they do. I don't know.
I've never had them.
I don't care to. Caviar maybe, but probably not the sturgeon fish. So, all right. So, here's the deal. We've got these Atlantic sturgeon that are coming into our river systems here in Maryland to spawn. Is it only that river system, the Nanticoke system, or are we getting pings off your, you know, transmitters other places in Maryland?
Through the detections, now I can only speak to the fish that have transmitters in them.
Yeah, of course.
When our fish come back into the bay in the springtime.
Yes.
And when I say springtime, that's a relative term. It's they come through the array down at the mouth of the bay in early May.
Yep.
And they real slowly meander their way up the bay. It takes them about a month before they show up. But the majority of our fish come straight to the Nanticoke.
Really?
We haven't had any of them. Now, we did have one fella. We all know how males are. They don't ask for directions. He missed his turn in the Nanticoke and ended up in the Choptank River.
Uh-huh.
Well, he came into the Choptank River. He kept thinking he knows where he's going, and he was there for about 4 hours. And he turned around and left, and he showed up in the Nanticoke 5 days later.
That's pretty funny.
It must be something with the sex.
Yeah, the male mind is, you know, you never know. Or maybe, maybe he thought, hey, I'll just run up here. Maybe there's just some girls up here. You never know what they're doing.
Now, we did have the Maryland Sturgeon Reward Program that ran from 96 to 2012. And there were sturgeon caught all through the bay.
Right.
Now, the majority of those are what we would call sub-adults. So these are fish that are just kind of wandering around doing what they do.
Right.
But, you know, as far as the adults go, we know that there are adult fish in the James River,
yep,
in the Rappahannock,
yep,
and also the York River. The York River is the river that we're most interested in because through DNA analysis, it's shown that our fish in the Nanticoke are genetically related to the fish in the York River.
Very interesting.
And we even found that out through detections of our fish showing up in the York River the year after we tagged them in the Nanticoke.
Wow, that's cool.
And we pretty much try to name all of our fish.
So uh-huh.
It makes it a lot easier to know who is who.
Uh-huh.
And we have several fish that we've tagged in the Marshy Hope Creek, and they've never come back. They go to the York River every year. And why he was in the Marshy Hope Creek 1 year, and we put a transmitter in him, and then for the next 3 years, he shows up in the York River. Is a mystery, but the
Betty, DNA comes, better the, party atmosphere
must be. We call him the Traveler.
I would say.
And we also have one that showed up in the Marshy Hope, and through DNA analysis, he was from the Altamaha River in Georgia, and he's never been back either.
Hmm.
But we still get detections on him, so they're. you know, the subadults move around a lot. They are in some of the other rivers.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really go look for them before you actually know they're there.
It's kind of like people that follow these tagged great white sharks all over the place.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, these fish. I'm guessing. This is just a guess. These fish that are wearing these tags and this telemetry stuff are far more mobile than scientists ever thought before.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's absolutely amazing to me when I learned that, you know, we used to have our big bluefish here. I don't know if we'll ever see that size of bluefish coming back again. But when I found out they started off the coast of Africa to make their way to the Chesapeake Bay, that absolutely fascinated me. These, you know, and now we can prove where all these fish go. You guys are focused on the sturgeon. The average person can't go online and track a sturgeon, but they sure can track these great white sharks because they're a fascinating species. It's kind of like the advent of the eagle cams and the osprey cams. You can kind of spy on wild critters, and you know this technology is just fascinating when it comes to fish movement and things like that. So
after our first year of tagging fish, pretty much every day I came to work was like Christmas morning checking email, because you would get an email that you didn't know who the person was, but you know, in the subject line it would say detections.
Nice.
So it was like Christmas morning to see where your fish were at, where they were gone, what they were doing, when they were there, how long they were there.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of cool watching the progression of, you know, where these fish go every year.
Sure. Now, when I went out with you the first time, we actually went on a hatchery tour down Southern Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were four or five relatively mature sturgeon in a tank down there.
Yes.
And I think at one time you told me that once they went on the endangered species list, that those sturgeon had to be removed.
No. Well,
or are they still there?
Well,
or can't you say?
Yeah.
They're in a top secret location, ladies and gentlemen. We can't really tell you.
Actually, no. They're actually the majority of what we have left is actually at a very public place.
Really?
Since they were put on the endangered species list, we weren't allowed to do anything with these fish other than just basic husbandry until we got our permit, and we decided to go in a different direction and you know, not keep the captive brood stock any longer, but we didn't want to just euthanize them.
Right.
So we put it out there to several, you know, researchers and interested educational places where, you know, would you be interested in a 130-pound fish? And as of last November, me and another one of our biologists, we transported five of our adult sturgeon to the New York Aquarium.
Wow, cool.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And they were put on display, I think it was in late December, they were put on public display, and they're still there.
Nice. Nice. So they're not... Yeah, they're not swimming around in a circle in the tank anymore. They're actually environment. Yeah,
it's a really big, beautiful tank that they have them in.
Yeah.
So we're anxious to go visit them this coming year.
We had a pretty cool trip down to Gatlinburg, and there's a aquarium in Gatlinburg, and you can actually take a little boat trip across the across one of the tanks, and you can, it's a shark tank, you know, and you can watch the shark swim by. But they had a sawfish in there that was probably, I don't know, 12 feet long, something like that. It was pretty cool. I mean, those public displays are neat for people to learn about you know, different fish species and things like that. And Rob and I thoroughly enjoyed themselves. They had a tank there. You actually walked under the tank, and you could see the fish swimming above you. And that sawfish came by, and we got pictures of the bottom of a saw. How cool is that? You know.
Yeah.
So, but it's pretty cool. Got an email question from a listener. Captain Don wanted to know, wasn't there sturgeon detected in the C&D canal?
Yeah, we do get, every once in a while, Delaware will get detections. And we don't have a perfect picture of the entire bay. These receivers are pretty expensive to deploy, but they do come back and forth between, through the C&D canal. There are, a couple receivers on the Maryland side. We don't actually deploy those. Somebody else does.
Right.
So we're not privy to that information, but, Delaware also has an array on the other side of the C&D canal. So yes, they do come back and forth once in a while.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, that's cool. What else you want to tell us? we've hit the high points here, haven't we? So what's next step, I guess?
Well, in the past couple of years, some of the research that we've done, we've deployed a continuously monitoring water quality array. We have one in Delaware, I think has four of them. So, that's just kind of, data that you can collect as the fisher here. What's the water temperature, the conductivity, the pH, all that information that
right.
we can collect, instantaneously all the time. Every 15 minutes it takes a sample.
Yeah.
We've done that. We've also done habitat mapping of the Marshy Hope Creek and the Nanticoke River, basically down to Vienna.
Right.
We didn't actually do that, but the NOAA Chesapeake Bay office out of Oxford, they completed that research for us, and that was instrumental in getting the habitat mapping done, and it also helps us know where these fish may spawn, depending on the bottom type.
Got it.
These guys like gravel, cobbly, rough stuff mm-hmm. bottom to spawn on.
Okay.
So that's some of the other things that we're interested in. Then University of Maryland, they're going to do a project this coming year on our Marshy Hope fish where they're going to actually use a, it's called an ARIS system. And basically what it does, it's like radar in the water and it shows a picture on a monitor,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually see the fish going back and forth through the viewing area.
Nice.
And they're going to use that in conjunction with our detection data
mm-hmm.
to do a population assessment on the adults in the.
So if you're fishing and you pick up a ping on one of your fish, they deploy this system and they go, "Hey, there's four of them down there."
Yeah, well, they're gonna put it in a specific part of the river and it's gonna be stationary.
I see.
So it'll be like going through the Bay Bridge when you got to stop and pay your toll. You can't get past without paying the toll.
Right,
This camera will see every fish that comes through.
Kind of like the shad cameras in some of these. The shad spawning camera, I can't remember who has one, North Carolina or somebody has a shad camera where they're coming through on the migration.
Mm-hmm. Then the Conowingo Dam also has a booth where they can see the fish going through.
That's cool.
The window. And it's
the same
type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do a population estimate based on our recaptured fish. Those are the ones that are a known quantity.
Right. Right.
So that's up and coming these next 3 years, actually.
That's cool. I've been doing some research working on the Crab Magazine, and I don't know if you've seen this tour or not, probably more so than I have, but NOAA has what's called a NOWCAST system. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, man. Winds, currents, salinity, water depth, and something else in real time.
Uh-huh.
And they also have a page on there that gives you the, what's the disease? The, oyster disease, not the disease for oysters, what you can get. Vibrio.
Oh yeah.
They have the percentage of, you know, likelihood of Vibrio in a map, on a map. And it is spectacular to sit there and watch the wind speeds move and to see the salinity. I mean, this is real time stuff, and it's called Nowcast, and it's on the NOAA site.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do a report on that. It's kind of a cool thing for, you know, and then they have a navigational thing that they do. They give you suggestions for navigating in these different situations. So it's pretty cool. NOAA's pretty cool site, you know, so. Yep. Well, look, we're going to have to take a break here again. Hang with us, and I'm not sure how much time we'll have left at the end, but we're going to give it a shot. So it's time for me to tell the folks about Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410, is 242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. And if you need it for fishing or for crabbing or for hunting or for rod and reel repair, new line on your reels, trot line. I'm just bouncing everywhere. Trot lines, stackable crab traps, regular crab traps, trot line, nets, lures for bass, panfish, offset circle. You get the idea here. I'm bouncing all over intentionally because it's just impossible to name everything they have. You know, I'm just hitting some high points here, you know. Guns, Browning firearms, gunsmithing, scope mounting. Why not stop by and check it out? And today they're sponsoring a fishing tournament down there for the kids and really giving back to the community. So stop by and say hi to Bill or Clyde and thank them for their community outreach. Why not? 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit 9, 410-242-6108.
Some pretty heavy rains down to our south, and they're kind of working our way for the back of the weekend forecast. Could see almost an inch of rain tomorrow. Widely scattered showers today, 83 degrees, low tonight 64. This is a tropical feature that was down in the Gulf of Mexico that's moving on into the southeast and up the east coast. About a half inch to 1 inch of rain on Sunday, high of 77, and thundershower chances continue Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, early next week. I'm meteorologist Scott Lariemore from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Okay, we're back with Chuck Stentz here. We're talking about all kinds of cool science that we're doing here on the Chesapeake Bay, and particularly on the endangered Atlantic sturgeon. And Chuck has graciously invited me out on that trip a couple of years ago. It was quite fascinating. It's a lot of work. You guys do a lot of work, and especially when it's 94 degrees the day I was out. It was nasty. So maybe we'll get a little overcast day next time, Chuck. What do you think?
You're more than welcome to come anytime you want.
I'd love to. I'll get out there in one of these days, and we'll talk again about it. But I want to thank you for sharing everything. It sounds like you're excited about what you're doing. And as always, when we talk to the biologists in the Chesapeake Bay, you guys do the work that benefits all the citizens of Maryland. And we just want to thank you guys with the boots on the ground effort for that.
Thank you.
Yep. Some of the finest science we have is right here in Maryland, the Oxford Lab and our own Department of Natural Resources. So, Chuck, I want to thank you for being with us today, and we'll let you go, and you can have a good weekend, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
All right.
Yep. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. There goes Chuck. All right. We got about 2 minutes left. I just got a note from one of our state police officers that said we do have a few Mustangs that are used to do a lot of recruiting events, but also catch other Mustangs. That makes sense, you know. Yeah. The BMWs were a choice of somebody in the higher echelon, so that's good for the motorcycles. That's cool. And he asked me if I ride a motorcycle. I won't get on a motorcycle to save my life. I did work at a cycle shop. You know, I worked out at the old C&L cycle shop in Eldersburg. That's where Crabber Ron is from, and, you know, worked for the Lindstrom family out there. And I tell you, I had a good time. I was there for 10 months, and that was right after we sold one of our magazines and had to look for something else to do. And got a little job there, went from there to Outdoor Sportsman over in East Baltimore for almost 2 years, and then went from there to Bass Pro Shop for almost 5 years. So, you know, I've had an interesting and varied career. And tell you what, wouldn't trade for anything. It's been a good time. So, and all that's on the website, ellisoutdoors.com, and that's how you get in touch with us, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Ellis is my last name, but I figured that'd make it easy to email if you want to email me anything like some of our listeners do, like Bill Cooper and Captain Don and John B. and Coles. Oh, Coles, they send me one anyway every day because I have one of their credit cards. But photos of eating crabs, catching crabs, showing off your bushel, whatever you want to do. We'll take a look at it and see if you qualify for the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine. Even recipes. Oh, shout out to Carol Sherrington. She's our cuisine editor for Fishing and Hunting, for the Hunting Quarterly, and for Maryland Loves Crabs.